Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Apologist segment of ARC Studies Live. I'm your host, Rick Young. ARC Studies Live is the blogcast radio outreach of the Apologetic Research Center. ARC is a Christian ministry specializing in evangelism, Christian apologetics, and counterculture studies. For more information about ARC, go to the World Wide Web at www.arcstudies.org. Good afternoon and welcome to today's Friday edition of ARC Studies Live. I'm your host, Rick Young. Today I sort of want to revisit and maybe next week, or at least a portion of next week, revisit the entire Nation of Islam, addressing the Nation of Islam as I intended to do this week. Until I was sidetracked by other issues. All right. At the end of the broadcast yesterday, I had pointed out, recounting a conversation I had had with a friend who was with the Nation of Islam years ago, pointing towards some of the dates. Elijah Muhammad, one thing I like about evidential reasoning and evidential theology is it points specifically towards things. And as I pointed specifically towards some of the things that Elijah Muhammad said, there are specific things he said, specific dates, pointing towards specific things. Elijah Muhammad himself opened himself up to this type of examination, and I believe rightly so. I think that he was absolutely correct when he said, "And our Savior has arrived," page 155, that if we are to accept a religion that is said to be from God, we should diligently examine that the truth and the author of the religion, its people, and the contents of his book or books before we bear witness that it is the truth of God and the right religion. And so that's what I want to do, diligently examine all of those things. I don't want to diligently examine, even though he opened himself up to it, I don't want to diligently examine Elijah Muhammad. It's what he said is important. Again, my intent is to emphasize Elijah Muhammad made several claims concerning Christianity. He made numerous claims concerning Christianity and the role of the Nation of Islam as it relates to Christianity. He identified Christianity as being the white man's religion on page 93 of Our Savior Has Arrived. He said this: "The whole of the Western white civilization is opposed to Islam, the only true religion of God. Therefore, they devils don't teach of Allah, and Islam does." He said Christianity was organized by, when he says he's talking about Farah, taught him this. He said Christianity was organized by the white race, and they placed the name of Jesus on it as being the founder and author to deceive the black people into accepting it. And so that's what, that was his particular view of Christianity. Prior to that, he had made the point concerning how individuals were taught to follow Jesus. Elijah Muhammad said this. He taught us things, talking about Farah Muhammad again. He taught us things that were, and I'm quoting, "were and are a glimpse of things to come. His fiery warnings of the judgment of this world make one feel as though there will be a very, very narrow chance for any life to survive such a destruction. He taught us that our foreparents were deceived and brought in America by a slave trader whose name was John Hawkins in the year 1555. And he goes on to say, not in this particular work, but it's common amongst the individuals in the Nation of Islam that Hawkins brought us brought slaves over on a ship called Jesus. And I do believe, don't nail me down on this, but I remember looking up, I did believe that Hawkins had a ship that was named Jesus. But there was no slave trading of John Hawkins here in 1555. Now, understand, when this was written and when Elijah Muhammad was making these types of claims, individuals did not have access to the amount of information and the number of sources of information that we today, who have access to the World Wide Web and the information superhighway, as we function in the marketplace of ideas, we have access to numerous things. And though I've heard and I've read, even Jibril Muhammad in Farrakhan's newspaper, and Jibril, of course, is, I believe his name was Jibril Kashmir when Elijah Muhammad was around. And I believe that, in fact, Jibril is the individual who taught, who he and Tineta Muhammad are the ones who convinced Louis Farrakhan to step up and begin to push his particular segment of the Nation of Islam in 1977. Well, he has an ongoing article or department in the Final Call, which is the newspaper of Louis Farrakhan's Nation of Islam, and you'll see individuals standing on the street corners with the Final Call. And you'll still see some Muhammad speaks, but primarily what you see on the street corners is the Final Call. And so Jibril has an article in there, a department in there, and in that particular article, I remember reading where he wrote about how Elijah Muhammad told him this and how he went to the Library of Congress, you know, and it wasn't his intent to say this, but he couldn't find that particular work. So, again, it was something that was unverifiable by Elijah Muhammad. Actually by any independent source outside of Elijah Muhammad. So, at any rate, his fiery warnings of the judgment of this world referred to Elijah Muhammad's belief, according to what he was taught by Wallace Fard, that the rule of the white race was to be over at a particular point in time. And there were a number of prophecies. The one I pointed out yesterday, and I'll come back to it, but let me follow this course of reasoning. Elijah Muhammad taught in Message to the Black Man on page 18 that, let's see here, on page 18 he says this. He spoke with authority, not as one who is under authority, talking about Farrar again. But not as one under authority, but as one independent. He said the world's time was out in 1914, but people could get an extension of time depending upon their treatment of the righteous. Okay, and so when he speaks of the time being out, he's referring to the rule of the white devil. All right, on page 100 of Our Savior Has Arrived, Elijah Muhammad says this, and I quote, they were created, talking about the white race, were created to rule us for 6,000 years. Then Allah, God, will destroy them from the earth and give the earth back to its original owners, the black nation. So, according to Elijah Muhammad, after their 6,000-year rule, okay, Allah would destroy them. And I find this interesting because the 6,000 rule of the white man was over in 1914. All right, you got a question and a comment you want to participate in today's broadcast, you can give me a call at area code 646-652-2905. Again, that's area code 646-652-2905. If you just want to shoot me an email, that's fine too. ryoung@arcstudies.org. Again, that's ryoung@arcstudies.org. All right, so according to Elijah Muhammad, they were allowed to rule for 6,000 years. And at the end of the 6,000 years, then the rule of the white devil race, okay, it was supposed to have been destroyed and overthrown and the earth given back to its original owner, the black man. All right, on page 101 of our message to the black man, Elijah says this, O children of Adam, let not the devil seduce you, as he expelled your parents from the garden. All right, and then he goes on to say, parenthetically, this was done by the father of the race, Yaqub, 6,000 years ago, pulling off their clothes that he might show them their shame. He surely sees you as his host. And so, again, according to Elijah Muhammad, well, let's look at page 83. He says on page 83, but we all know that 1914 was the end of the 6,000-year rule, 6,000 years that was given to the old world of devils to rule. All right? Now, he's absolutely clear on that. We know that 1914 was the end of the 6,000-year rule. Now, one thing that I have been confused about, and rightfully so, but one thing that I have been absolutely confused about is, if it is true as it is written on page 83, well, as it's written, first of all, on page 100, if it's true, according to Elijah, that they were created to rule 6,000 years, okay? They were created to rule for 6,000 years. And if it's also true, as it is written on page 83, that 1914 was the end of that 6,000-year period, then why has nothing changed? Because at the end of the 6,000-year period, again, and we read this on page 82, that Allah, not 82, page 100 of Message to the Black Man, Allah will destroy them from the earth and give the earth back to its original owners. Now, that was supposed to have happened in 1914. Now, what I find interesting about this is that Elijah didn't even meet Farah Muhammad until 1930. So they were already 15 years over this rule. And we're some 87, 88 years over that rule now? I'm sorry, no. Some 93 years over that particular rule. Well, that rule should, because it should be 100 years over that rule in the year 2015. That's 100 years. That's 8 years from now. So now we're almost 100 years past that particular time. All right. After this, and Our Savior Has Arrived, page 111, okay, says this. The rule of the white race terminates at the 16,000th year, and that year is the beginning of the black nation's rule. So that same year is the beginning of the black nation's rule. rule again, he says, as we ruled before the 9,000th year. So according to Elijah Muhammad, it was the year 9,000. The white devil was given 6,000 years to rule, okay? And if he's given 6,000 years to rule, this doesn't add up again. Or maybe he's saying they started at 10,000 and 6,000 took him to 16,000 years. Okay, that's fine. The 9,000th year of Yaakov's making. And then he goes on to say, this is the beginning of what is prophesied, the 7,000th year, meaning the 7,000th year after the rule of the 6,000 years by the white race in our calendar history. It is the 16,000th year. This is called the 7,000th year by the Christian writers. Now, again, this is Our Savior Has Arrived, published in 1974, which is some 60 years after the rule of the white man was supposed to have terminated, according to the theology of Elijah Muhammad. The point that I'm making is that when examining any document, and again, Elijah Muhammad opened himself up to this, and rightfully so, he says if we're supposed to believe any religion is from God, the right religion, examine, you know, the author, the book, or books. Okay, well, I'm looking at some of the prophecies, or the information, first of all, that he got from Farad Muhammad was flawed even before he got it. If Farad said to him in 1930, or sometime between 30 and 34, that the end of the white rule was in 1914, okay, he's already 20 years past that end. When he made, I don't know how you could call that a prophecy, and Elijah does say that it's in Our Savior's Arrived, this is the beginning of what is prophesied, the 7,000th year. I don't know how it could ever have been considered a prophecy, and that there was no writing of it prior to 1914, and even if there were, it was a false prophecy because it did not happen. So it's clear here that the information that was transmitted to him from Ford was flawed, was deeply flawed, because it did not come to pass. All right, let's look at a couple of other prophecies from Elijah Muhammad. Okay, let's look at prophecies. And he's made numerous prophecies about 1914, so through across numerous books. So I'm not going to spend any amount of time just covering all of them. I will read a couple just so you can get an idea of the breadth of how false or how erroneous these prophecies were. All right, you want to get a question, get a comment, you can give me a call, area code 646-652-2905, area code 646-652-2905, talking about some of the prophecies of Elijah Muhammad. Okay? All right, on page 288 and 289 of Message to the Black Men, Elijah says this: today it is visibly understood that the fall of America cannot be checked, for the foundation has been removed. The 1914 war, which involved all of the white race, crushed the power of Turkey in Europe and pushed the power back across the Bosporus, or pushed Islam out of Europe as nearly as possible. An old prophetic saying is that when Turkey has been pushed out of Europe across the Bosporus, setting her capital away from the once Constantinople, this would mark the end of the white world. Now, Elijah Muhammad, again, when this was written, this is from Message to the Black Man, and the copyright on this particular one is 1965. Let's talk for a minute about that. He's talking about the 1914 war, okay, and he's talking about how the foundation has been removed, and he refers in making this point to some other prophecy, an old prophetic saying. He doesn't give a source for it, and he doesn't say that comes from Ford. It may have, but the point he's making is an old prophetic saying is that when Turkey has been pushed out of Europe across the Bosporus, setting her capital away from the once Constantinople. Well, the bottom line is the capital of Turkey is still Constantinople today, and it is still a Muslim country today. This is still today. So when Elijah wrote this, of course, this was 50 years after that war, And Constantinople never ceased to be the capital of Turkey, and Turkey never ceased to be a predominantly Muslim nation. So again, this has nothing to do with reality. It has to do with the perspective, subjective reasoning. And subjective reasoning is not truth. And he said that would mark the end of the white world. That never happened. He goes on to say at the top of page 289, I can say truthfully, and the scientists will agree, that the 1914 war marked the fall of the white race, or the white world, as a power over the black world, the aboriginal people. That was some 50 years ago. Now, ask yourself, has that happened? When he's speaking of the 1914 war, he's talking about World War I, the war to end all wars. Now, when Elijah was young, it may have been the case that individuals could spend that however they chose to, but everyone alive today, I mean right now, you know, there's still a disproportionate number of black people and poor people who fight wars to this very day. Before the broadcast today, I was watching a Hardball with Chris Matthews, and he was talking about, well, his guest host was speaking about Senator Jim Webb of Virginia, whose son, he's a decorated Marine, whose son is also a Marine, who was fighting in Iraq and recently came home, and they were, the guest host and some of his guests were referring to the fact that, you know what, it's rare to find anyone in power today who has a child involved in this war, and maybe that's why it's so easy to just send people off to war. You know, the majority of people are poor and minority. And so the 1914 war, he said, marked the fall of the white world as a power of the black world. It has not happened at all. Has not. Again, false prophecy. In another, and he goes on to say, second paragraph, in another prophecy, the war of 1914 is referred to as the war of the Antichrist, or what we today call Christian Europe and America. They're referred to as Antichrist because they are against the government of the true God and of the black people. Christ here means God in person in the last days or the end of the Caucasian world. The name Christ spiritually means one who is coming at the end to crush the power of the infidel or the race of devils. And he said it spiritually means. And so what the heck does that mean? Words have definitions. You don't spiritualize them. That is esoteric. Okay? And so that's where he got Christ the Crusher. That, you know, and he says he got that from Ford. But what do you mean it spiritually means? I mean, it's like saying, okay, I got a car outside. Spiritually, it's a bike. Spiritually, car means a bike. And I mean, that's how ridiculous it is. If we can't communicate in clear language, you know, how could anything ever be valid? If you could spiritualize everything, if I could spiritualize everything, I mean, I could say, wow, I'm going to wear a sweater. Sweater, okay, sweater. That means I'm a pimp. Because I'm going to sweat. I mean, if you can sit there and be really ridiculous with it. That's why understanding words and the usage of words in language is extremely important, so that we can clearly say the things that we need to say. We need to provide clear words, and we need to provide clear context of words. You know, otherwise, we could be misunderstood. And when you're talking about being a revealer of truth, you know, there's no room or there shouldn't be room to allow for those types of things, you know, for individuals to operate in the shade. All right, got a question, got a comment, you can give me a call, area code 646-652-2905. Let's move on to page 294 of Message to the Black Man. Elijah Muhammad says this, since 1914, which was the end of the time given to the devils, the white race, to rule over the original people, black nation, man has been preparing for a final showdown in the skies. And again, he wrote this 50 years after the fact, and here we are some 92 years after the fact now, and Elijah Muhammad is dead, and no one ever refers back to this. So the question is, when you read this book and the claims that it makes, are they legitimate claims? How could they be when all of these things, which are measurable, have fallen flat? All right, let's look at Elijah Muhammad and his prophecy concerning 1965 and 1966. If you look on page 270 of Message to the Black Man, and I encourage you, if you have a copy of Message to the Black Man from United Brothers Communication Systems, I pointed out yesterday where they changed Elijah's information in his book in order to avoid a clear and glaring false prophecy. So even that work, what I contend is that the 1965 version is not reliable towards emphasizing what is true and what's not true, because it's replete with information that is measurable by us and we find it to be false. And most notably, what I just read to you about 1914. Well, what the United Brothers Communication, or the UB and UC communication systems did with their 1992 revision published by Khalif Khalifa, what they've done is they've gone in and they've misquoted Elijah. And we'll get back to that in a minute. Let's look at page 270. 270 of Message to the Black Man. Page 270 of Message to the Black Man. Here Elijah says this, and I quote, "God has taught me," talking about it for fraud again, "God has taught me that the white race was grafted unalike, and being unalike is able to attract the black man and black woman, getting them to do all evil and indecency known to the white race." And I've always found that interesting, is that, you know, he's basically basing this on Yaqub, who he believes is the original black god man who was playing with magnets and recognized that if you turn it one way, it pushes, and if you turn it the other way, it attracts. And so he came up with the concept of unalike attracts. And you know, and based upon this, he then, through a 600-year grafting process, he created the white race. But what I find interesting about this whole thing is he talks about how the white race used this principle in order to get black people to do all indecency known to the white race. But the reality is, wouldn't Yaqub be the one who created the white race, so it's him who taught the white race to do all, and him, a black god? There were no white people at this time. No one else but black people. So he's the one who then taught them trichnology, as they call it, and how to be wicked and to go on and teach other black people to be wicked. So can it truly be said that the white race is wicked if a black god is the one who created them to do the very thing that they did? I mean, it's like Dr. Frankenstein, you know. They call Dr. Frankenstein's monster. They call the monster the wicked one, but who's the individual that created the monster? And even in that case, and of course it's just a movie, but in the movie, he was just trying to create life, and it went awry. In this case, he was intending to create a wicked race of people to rule over black people. So he was wicked before white people got here. So that means that there were wicked before black white people got here. So even if it were true and, wow, fraud destroyed the white race of people, even if he did that, black race would still be wicked because it was there before they got here in the first place. All right, but let's go on. All right, page 270, and I'm quoting. "The years 1965 and 1966 are going to be fateful for America, bringing in the fall of America." Now, did you hear that? Bringing in the fall of America. "As one of the prophets of the Bible prophesied in regard to her, as the morning spreads abroad upon the mountains and a great and strong people set in battle array," Joel chapter 2, verse 2. Now, of course, I would contend that's talking about Israel, literally. All right? Elijah says it's not. All right? All right. "This is the setting of the nation for showdown to determine who will live on earth. The survivor is to build a nation of peace to rule the people of the earth forever under the guidance of Almighty God, Allah. With the nation setting forth for a final war at this time, God pleads for his people, the inheritors of the earth, the so-called Negroes." Now, two things. Number one, this was supposed to have happened in 1914, according to page 100 of this same book. Now, how could it jump back and forth? What I found with Elijah Muhammad's works is that for the most part, it wasn't a matter of I'm going to sit down and write a book. It's almost like what happened with the Prophet Muhammad. You'll find things that are verbatim sayings in multiple books. You know, in this book, in Our Savior Has Arrived, especially in Supreme Wisdom Volumes 1 and 2. And what I believe happened is that there were transcriptions of sermons. And somebody just recorded the sermon, one of his sermons, from his tapes, and then they sat down and someone typed it out. Someone hammered it out. Okay? Someone typed them all out. And so there is no particular order in them. And so that's what I find, at least. Individuals in the Nation of Islam could disagree, and that's fine. That's just my opinion. That's what it appears to me from the evidence. You can agree, disagree. Got a question or comment, give me a call. Area code 646-652-2905. But based upon this prophecy on page 270, you know, I just find it interesting that he said that the years 1965 and 66 are going to be faithful, bringing in the fall. 65 and 66. Here we are, 41 years from that time. 41 years. And nothing's happened. Even the war that's going on today has nothing to do with this. Has nothing to do with the black race. Nothing. Except the fact that they're involved in it, like Chinese and Spanish and everybody else, but it's not about, you know what, even on the other side with Al-Qaeda or in Iraq with Sunnis or Shiites, they could say it's about Islam, but they're not talking about Nation of Islam. They're not talking about Farah Muhammad. They're not talking about the overthrow of the white race. They're not talking about any of those things. In fact, they all reject these very things. Farah Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad, so forth, so on. All right, and so it has nothing to do with that. So again, false prophecy. All right, let's look at what Elijah Muhammad had to say about the year 1970. The year 1970. Okay, and you'll find that on beginning on page 267 of A Message to the Black Man. Page 267. Of Message to the Black Man. Okay, is where you'll find that. All right. And this particular, let me see. Well, actually, there's a couple of things on here on 267. He says this, since 1492, the people of the white race have been allowed to spread over the face of the earth and to have the freedom of deceiving all that they could. To learn more about them, let us read and study their history. Read the Bible, Revelation of John, under the title The Beast of the Dragon. And so here, he's talking about when Christopher Columbus came around. But hasn't he already said, not since 1492, you know, which is, you know, six millennia ago, not even six, actually, at the time of Elijah Muhammad's writing of this particular doctrine, we're talking about not even four and a half hundred years. But yet he said the white race, 6,000 years, ended at 1914. So, he changes it and says, since 1492, the people of the white race have been allowed to spread over the face of the earth. So, they weren't dominating it before 1492. If it's only since then that they were allowed to spread over the earth? And so again, you have a contradiction of, and I found that in Message to the Black Man. There are so many things that he says that, you know, that contradict other things that he says in the same book. Okay, the bottom of page 267. The so-called Negro has been made so blind, deaf, and dumb by them that even the intellectual blacks now are blind and seek to make love and friendship with the people of the devil and Satan. The day of decision between the dark races of the nations was begun by God himself. Day of decision. Made by God himself in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, to whom be praise forever, as is prophesied in the Bible. Multitudes in the Valley of Decision for the day, and then he has here, in brackets, before or by 1970. Before or by 1970. He says, the day of decision between the dark races of nations was begun by God himself in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, to whom praise are due forever, as prophesied in the Bible, multitudes in the Valley of Decision for the day before by 1970 of the Lord is near in the Valley of Decision. And, of course, he quotes Joel 3:14, which I contend with the time principle was written about Israel, but or Jewish individuals. But he says that this day of decision was before or by 1970. It is clear, he goes on to say, it is clear that the armies of the nations of the earth have geared themselves for a showdown between their forces and Allah and the nation of Islam. We, the so-called American Negroes and the last five members of our nation, are in this decision. Never happened. Before or by. And again, I was alive. I was 10 years old in 1970. There's no day of decision. That's a misuse of biblical prophecy to try to make a point that he chose to make. In fact, what Elijah does here is what I contended that the other brother was doing to his work, and of course what the United Brothers and Sisters are doing. You don't have the right to just arbitrarily just take something from somewhere and apply it to what you want to apply it to. It has to stand or fall on its own merits. Doesn't make it, I'm not talking about the right or wrong of a thing in and of itself. I'm talking about the process of right or wrong in when addressing that particular thing. You know, I don't have the right to take something of yours and then say it's something you created and say it's other than what you created it to be. I don't have that right. You know, I can. Now, that doesn't make me right. That doesn't make you right. But it's yours. It's yours. I don't have the right to approach the Quran as Elijah does and reinterpret the Quran. I don't have that right. I don't have that right. Now, where the Quran seeks to reinterpret the Bible, of course, I can examine it and say, you know what, that's false, just like where Elijah here seeks to reinterpret things contained in the Bible. Again, he is wrong. All right, so before by 1970, that never happened. Again, never happened. False prophecy. And now we move forward to page, let me see, page 38. Let's take a look at page 38. Can't read my own notes. I tend to, as I study a book, I tend to make notes in the back of the book. On page 38 of Message to the Black Man, Elijah says this. Today, according to Allah's word, we are living in the time of the great separation of the blacks and whites. The prophecy, 400 years of slavery, as to the time the so-called Negroes would serve white people, ended in 1955. The Great Prophecy. Now, what he's referring to as the Great Prophecy, again, is, and it wasn't a prophecy, he tends to look at what happened to Israel, or the 400-year, actually 430-year to be specific, enslavement of Israel in Egypt. He looks at that as a prophecy of what's happening to black people. But the reality is that that never happened. There were only 371 years. So, okay, you want to round up, you can round up. But that still doesn't change the fact that what he says here is the 40 years of slavery as to the time the so-called Negroes were served to white people ended in 1955. But wait a minute, I thought the rule of the white devil was over in 1914. Now, would that not have been 41 years before this? So, which is true? Which one is true? I mean, I've read to you in the same book, 289, 1940, marked the fall of the white world as a power over the black world. Same book, page 289. 1914 marked that. But then earlier in the same book, he says, the 1955 was the end of the rule of the so-called, when the so-called Negro was supposed to serve the white man. So again, false prophecy after false prophecy, I don't even have to leave this book. Because one thing that he says in this particular book contradicts other things that he says in this very same book. All right, let's look at the last of the false prophecies that I want to look at. Okay, let's look at the last of it. Actually, no, there are two more. Two more I want to take a look at. All right, one relating again to the rule of the black people, since white people were supposed to have lost their rule in 1914. Page 142, he says, well, I did already read this, we are now living in the early morning, of the 7,000th year. And so, remember, if we are living in the early morning of the 7,000th year, as emphasized by Elijah Muhammad, then we are into the rule of the black God. Remember, our Savior has arrived, says, this is the beginning of what is prophesied, the 7,000 year, meaning the 7,000 year after the rule of 6,000 years by the white race. Okay, so our rule, or according to him, and he goes on to say, actually, prior to that, on page 110, this is the way of the gods. One god is not allowed to pattern after another god when it comes to the universal change. He has to use his own wisdom. The white man brought about a universal change, and so will Master Farai Muhammad. So the white man talking about 6,000 years. And the person, Allah God, it says, so universal change, and so will Master Farai Muhammad. Allah God in person bring about a new universal civilization, even as Yaqub. So when Yaqub, 6,000 years ago, brought about the rule of the white race, well, Farad will bring about a universal change, not a little change. Universal change. He will bring about universal change and bring about a universal civilization, even as Yaqub, the father of the white race, brought about a new universal wicked people and wicked rule over the righteous. So just as universal as Farad's or as the white race's change were after Yaqub, it was supposed to be the exact same way with Farad Muhammad. And that was supposed to have begun in 1914. But the reality is, again, it has not happened. Page 142, message to the black man. We're living in the early morning of 7,000 years. Well, how long is the morning? 7,000 year began in 1914. That's the 7,000th year. We're almost up to 7,100, almost 100 years later. He said their time expired in 1914, as all religious scientists agree, where we are in the 7,000th year since the creation of Adam or the Caucasian race. And so, again, absolutely false. Now, I do remind you that there is that caveat, and you'll find the same caveat written in Supreme Wisdom, Volumes 1 and 2, that there was an out for the white race. He spoke with authority, not as one under authority, and I'm quoting, but as one independent. He said the world's time was out in 1914, but people could get an extension of time depending upon their treatment of the righteous. And so the righteous then are those who follow his brand of Islam, or the black people. So their time was up in 1914, but they can get an extension depending on how they treat the people. So what does he mean by that? Because they clearly got an extension. 92 years have gone by. So you get an extension by treating black people wickedly? Well, according to him, that's what they did for 6,000 years. And if that's what it is, then maybe it could be another 12,000 years then. Or 30,000 years. They just keep treating black people badly, and guess what? They'll keep getting an extension. Or did he mean they can get an extension if they treated white people better? I mean, treated black people better. Well, clearly, according to him, they have not. I agree that WASPs, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, still rule the world, and they don't do it justly. Absolutely. So there's no righteousness there. And so what did he mean by they can get an extension depending on how they treat the righteous people? The reality is that, you know what, if they end at the end of the 6,000th year and the black rule begins at the 7,000th year, that was 1914. Let's look at the last prophecy real quick. Again, this is Art Studies Live. I am Rick Young, the apologist, and let me explain to you what the apologist is. It's not another fancy title that individuals choose to give themselves. I could care less about titles. I could care less. Doesn't matter to me one way or the other. What an apologist is a defender of the Christian faith. All Christians should be apologists. Every Christian should be a defender. From a biblical context. Now, there are Islamic apologists. There are Nation of Islam apologists. It just means a defender of something. The word means defense, set for the defense of the gospel. And our logo, that comes from 2 Peter chapter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready to give an answer or a defense to every man who asks with meekness and fear and meekness and respect. And so that's where we get our name from, Apologetic Research Center, refers to the Defense Research Center. Okay. You got a question, you got a comment, agree, disagree, give me a call, area code 646-652-2905. Let's look at this again. I'm just looking at in the back of, I keep notes inside of books. Again, so that as I'm reading a book, I tend to make three columns. I tend to make three columns, and in these columns, what I do is I make note of what's said about God, what's said about the gospel, and then of course I have a miscellaneous column. A miscellaneous column, and I have the miscellaneous column just for other interesting information that I might run across during a study. All right, let's see. Let's look at Elijah's prophecy of calamity on page 273 of Message to the Black Man. All right, we see with our own eyes, and I'm quoting, but the wicked Americans are too proud to confess that they see the bread of America gradually being cut off. Take a look into the Southwest and the Midwest. See the hand of Allah God at work against modern Babylon to break the whole staff of her bread for evils done against his people, the so-called Negroes. Texas and Kansas were once two of the nation's proudest states. Kansas known for its wheat and Texas for its cattle, cotton, corn, and many other vegetables and fruits. And I'm on page 274 now. They are today in the grip of drought. Continuously raging dust storms, their riverbeds lie bare, their fish stinking on the banks in dry, parched mud. When the rain comes, it brings very little relief and does more damage than good. Snow comes, it brings not joy, but death and destruction. After the snow comes, more dust storms. With the rain comes hailstorms, very large stones. America has not seen the large hailstones. She will see hailstones the size of small blocks of ice breaking down crops, trees, roofs, homes, killing cattle and fowl. Behind this terrific earthquake, the people, frightened, killed, much sickness and death will be widespread. You're getting a token now on the outside, a threat of an atomic war between the nations of the earth, yet your eyes are closed to manifest judgment of Allah God going out in your midst to bring this country to naught. And again, 1965, I don't know what sermon that was transcribed from. All that stuff, whatever he's referring to, done. I mean, there's no issue. There was no issue of these. You don't see these things in the news today. If you're talking about floods, you're always going to see some flood somewhere. You're always going to see drought somewhere. It tends to move around the world as part of the Earth's weather patterns. You tend to see heavier storms like with El Nino a few years ago. And sure, maybe global warming has something to do with it. But the bottom line is that what Elijah is talking about did not happen. All right, let's look at the last prophecy, and this is the one that I talked about yesterday and the one that I believe that United Brothers Communications recast in order to avoid a false prophecy, and in my opinion, doing a disservice to Elijah, because I have not read through that entire Quran, their version, I mean, that message to the black man, I have not. As a matter of fact, it's still brand new. I've had it now for, it's probably been about maybe 13, 14 years or so, and it's still brand new, because I only bought it in relation to one particular thing. And let me point out to you, again, to give you the background as to how I got to this particular position. I knew that when I read the message to the black man published by Elijah Muhammad in 1965 from his Temple of Islam in Chicago, Illinois, the mosque that he sat over as this particular message to the black man was published, I knew I had read and made notes to a particular prophecy or false prophecy that Elijah had made. All right, and let me read that prophecy to you. It's page 272, and I quote, "America's falling, her doom has come, and none, said the prophet, shall help her in the day of her downfall. And the Bible God pleads with you to fly out of her, America, and seek refuge in him. What is going to happen in 1973 and 1974, it certainly will change your minds about following a doomed people, a people who hate you and your kind and who call one who teaches the truth about them a hater. All right, they are producers of hatred of us. We are with God and the righteous." So he asks the question, what's going to happen in 73 and 74? And then he goes on to say, it certainly will change your minds about following a doomed people or following white people. And so at this particular time, I was working with a brother of the Nation of Islam, a brother who I haven't seen him in about a year, but I still consider his brother to be a friend, always liked him. He was having car problems at this particular time, or not car problems, but he and his wife were sharing a car. And he didn't live too far from me, so we started carpooling. He started riding to work with me. And so we'd have vigorous discussions. And I remember one day while we were at work, we were talking about some of these things. And this is a brother who steered me towards a lot of these things. He was in charge, either at that time or shortly after I met him, of bringing, he was responsible for the Final Call publication being brought to Columbus. I believe that was his particular task with Muhammad's Mosque number 43 here in Columbus, Ohio. Keith Muhammad, Keith Clay was his birth name, Keith Muhammad. Solid brother, and had a lot of respect for him. Thought he was sincere, but sincerely wrong, and I'm sure he felt the same way about me. At any rate, in a discussion that we were having at this particular time, you got to understand, this is like leading up towards the Million Man March. It's back when Farrakhan was doing all these men's meeting across the country, and he was making a good push, you know. And I was actually kind of confused when he first asked, you know, study the Nation of Islam stuff. He recommended all the works in integrity because he believed they held truth. And you got to respect that. You know, and my position was, I will examine anything you say, you know, and I will take it back to my group and we will study it. We will research it, not just as a group, but individually. We will individually study it and we will look for the validity of what you are saying, you know, based upon examining the evidence. Okay. Well, at the same time, he was making a strong pitch, you know, in our workplace, you know, for the things that he believes, which is, you believe it, you should shout it. You know, and I don't mean that to imply he was disruptive, because he was not. I'm just saying that amongst black individuals at my job, he was making his case. And at the time, I was teaching several Bible studies at my job. And so, of course, a lot of what he said would come back to me. You know, and so, you know, inevitably, the discussions we'd have in the car on the way to work and on the way home from work, we ended up having amongst the brethren. And on a particular day, when he was talking about the truth of Elijah Muhammad, I pointed out some of the things that I'm talking to you about today, about, you know, he invalidated himself. You know, again, we use Aristotle's dictum when we examine a document. Aristotle's dictum concerning textual criticism is that, you know, the benefit of the doubt must always be given to the document that you're reading, and it should never be assumed to be fraudulent or an error unless it invalidates itself. And how can it invalidate itself? Well, by contradicting itself repeatedly, saying things that are quote unquote scientifically impossible, and even that one has a lesser thing, because you know what? I do believe that miraculous things happen. I do. I don't believe they happen as often as other individuals would make claim, like you turn the TV on and somebody says, "Wah!" and running down to the front of a church like The Price Is Right. And I don't want to ridicule that, but I think that that's theater. But I do know that the miraculous happens, because I believe that God is a God who can and does perform miracles, but they're not always related to what we like them to be, like you know, sight and things like that. And so at any rate, that's another broadcast. But at any rate, during our discussion with these brothers, you know, I pointed out, you know, that, you know, Elijah's work invalidates itself. And I brought up that prophecy about what he said about 1973-74. Now, I brought up that particular one as opposed to talking about 1914, which I thought was a good one I could have brought up, because I was alive in 1973 and 74. You know, I was born in 1960. And so I was actually around. I could have used a 1965-66 one. But you know what? I was 5'6". Maybe I couldn't appreciate things around me, or could be said, even though I believed that I could. Maybe someone could make that case. But 73-74, I was 13, 14. That's when my worldview was really opening up from 1970 on. I had relatives that were Black Panthers. You know, good friends of my family in the Nation of Islam. I mean, I was watching all these things around me and aware of all these things around me. And so that's what I referred to. At any rate, what ended up happening was he told me that it was 19, that I was in error. It was 1965, 1966, produced his Quran. It showed it. I apologize. I thought I misquoted it. Went home, looked at mine, found out that, in fact, I had misquoted Elijah Muhammad. This new book had recast what he said and had done so falsely and unjustly. All right, so at any rate, it is a false prophecy. I believe the reason why they did that was to try to make it appear like the Watts riots, because nothing significant happened in 73-74. So at any rate, false prophecies, I think, are things that leave some of the things, or the majority of what Elijah says, in question. All right, we're going to pick it up Monday, and I don't know, I'm just going to really leave it up to you based upon your emails, and maybe we'll go back into the perspective. But I do want to give time to the things that I've talked about the Nation of Islam and not get sidetracked, because they are serious issues and therefore deserve serious time. So until Monday, this is Rick Young, the apologist, and I'll see you then.
Thank you for joining me for today's edition of ARC Studies Live. I'm Rick Young. The Apologist segment focuses exclusively on addressing your questions and comments concerning hardcore doctrinal issues relating to biblical difficulties, countercult studies, and Christian apologetics. For more information about ARC, go to the World Wide Web at www.artstudies.org. Again, that's www.artstudies.org.